box? Who's in the box? What's in the box?
I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in.
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
You're staying. This isn't a democracy anymore.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
They mostly come at night. Mostly.
Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am Bane Hellborn, going solo this time. Because infamous MJ, he's having a storm in his area, plus he needed to catch up on a few things. And it's with a sad and heavy heart that we here at EMZT Radio heard about the passing of Art Bell, radio host who tuned in to the dark side, passed away on Friday, April the 13th, 2018. He was 72 years old. A spokesman for the Nye County Sheriff's Office said an autopsy would be conducted to determine the cause of death. An announcement on Art Bell's website said he had chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. An apostle of the paranormal, whose disembodied voice drew millions to his late-night radio soapbox, beamed from the Mojave Desert in his home of Pahrump, Nevada. He did almost all of his career for Coast to Coast and Midnight in the Desert from his home. He had a little home studio set up. I'm looking at a picture of it right now. It's quite ingenious. He once had the third largest radio audience among talk show hosts after Rush Limbaugh and Dr. Laura Schlesinger. I think it said he was up to 10 million listeners every week. The announcement from his website says, quote, "Art had a fascination with the afterlife, and it's heartwarming to know he peacefully slipped into the next world and now knows the answers he sought for so long," end quote. From a home studio 65 miles west of Las Vegas, Mr. Bell personally fielded unscreened telephone calls on 5 lines during a 5-hour nightly marathon on KNYE-FM called Coast to Coast. And he talked about everything paranormal, from UFOs to paranormal experiences, possessions, aliens, everything. The show was very entertaining. I love listening to it. I didn't get to listen to it all the time, but I love listening to Art talk to people and get these stories, and they were just so outrageous. It was, you couldn't tell if it was real or not. In 1998, he received the Snuff Candle Award from the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry, a group co-founded by Carl Sagan and based in Amherst, New York, that promotes scientific inquiry and critical thinking. The group cited him for, quote, "for encouraging credulity, presenting pseudoscience as genuine, and contributing to the public's lack of understanding of the methods for scientific inquiry," end quote. To which Mr. Bell replied, quote, "A mind should not be so open that brains fall out. However, it should not be so closed that whatever gray matter which does reside may not be reached," end quote. He was born June 17, 1945, in Jacksonville, North Carolina, where his parents were stationed at Camp Lejeune there. At 13, he became a licensed amateur radio operator. He was an Air Force medic during the Vietnam War and later a disc jockey for an English language station in Okinawa, Japan. So he's had a lifelong interest and job at being a DJ on the radio. He even set a Guinness Book of World Records for continuous broadcasting 116 hours and 15 minutes to raise money to ferry stranded Vietnamese orphans from Saigon to the U.S., for adoption by American families. He also claimed a record of 57 hours for uninterrupted seesawing while broadcasting. His Coast to Coast show was syndicated and broadcast from 1989 to 2003, followed by episodic returns on satellite radio and online with a program called Midnight in the Desert, which he canceled in 2015 after he said shots had been fired at his home. It sounded like he was constantly being harassed where he was living. Guns were being shot off near his home, And he was always in fear for his family's safety because of his broadcasts. So on and off, he would retire and then come back because he was trying to protect his family. Because apparently some wackadoos wanted him off the air because they didn't like what he was doing. But I thought he was great. I loved his show. Nobody else can do a show like that. I mean, the way he did it. He helped with my interest in the unknown. Here's another quote he posted with the Washington Post in 1998. Quote, "There is a difference in what people are willing to consider daytime versus nighttime. It's dark and you don't know what's out there. And the way things are now, there may be something." End quote. Our thoughts go out to his family, and we are very sad by the loss of another great radio DJ who had one of the most fascinating shows ever on the air. And Art Bell, we'll see you on the other side.
Welcome to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 6th, 2001.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be across this great globe of ours, all 24 time zones considered. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM, and I don't know where to begin tonight. There is so much to talk to you about. I guess I'll begin by telling you that next hour, you know, we frequently have, because I guess we're also interested in what lies on the other side, we have guests on the program who have had near-death experiences. Tonight, for the first time, we're going to have a guest who really died. She really died. She had an embolism in her brain. She's Pam Reynolds. She had an embolism in her brain. And a group of very daring surgeons in Phoenix, Arizona, brought her to what's known as stand still. And what happens is your body is cooled to 58 degrees Fahrenheit. The heart stops. Most of the blood is drained from the body. Brain waves cease. And in short, you are dead. And then they operate and take out the embolism. And Pam Reynolds was indeed dead while in that state. If dead is a state, she encountered one of the most remarkable near-death experiences ever documented. Now, I think you don't call it near. I don't see how you can call it near-death. Not in this case. And so that should be pretty interesting, I would say, coming up next hour.
And we'll be back right after this music break. It's EMZT Radio. EMZT Radio is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/EMZT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. For you, the listeners of EMZT Radio Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. That's audibletrial.com/EMZT.
My friends, I tell tales to you. I swear on my guitar, every word it is true. I don't mean to brag about our drinking skills, but the stuffs that we've had, well, most men it would kill. We've had Happy Jack Sail, we've had Johnny Jump Up, we've had Windsor Cider, fill all of our cups. They all have hangovers of unspeakable pain, but there's one drink that drove all those gypsies insane. Don't ever, don't ever, don't ever again. If we live to be 100 or 100,
I like red wine, I like vodka as well. Then they offered me absinthe, I said, what the hell? But then I woke up in mess, in a cauldron of borscht and the black velvet dress.
We were kidnapped by nomads who took us away. We drank up our absinthe and started to play. We broke
through our chains in a magical rage. Bent the steel bars and escaped our cage. So never, no never, we'll never again. If we live to be 100 or 110. After drinking absinthe, life was never the same. The green fairies' weapons are sugar and flame.
More than most anyone here. When they offered me absinthe, I drank without fear. It killed me, but absinthe my soul did crave. I revived and dug myself out of my grave.
Now I deal with potions, elixirs, and such. When they offered me absinthe, I said that's too much. It gave me a power that burst from within. I put tacos, ferratos, and strangled a gin.
Oh, never, no, never, no, never again.
I drank a bottle of absinthe, went out like a light. Woke up my friends in the middle of the night. They hear something noise, look over with a scare. I was crawling like demon from top of these stairs. No,
never, no, never, no, never again. If we live to be 100 or 110. After drinking absinthe, life was never the same. The green fairies' weapons are sugar and flame.
We were playing in pub, pirates broke in. Offered them absinthe with goblin-y grim. We all succumbed to the green fairies' powers. Woke up in their clothes,
they woke up in ours. And the green fairies' business is insanity. We're all living proof here now, as you can see. Be forewarned, be careful, be cautious, beware. If you're drinking absinthe, make sure you share. No, never, no, never, no, never again. If we live to be 100 or 110, after drinking absinthe, like we're
thank you. You are now listening to ENZT Radio.
Okay, I'm going to do another movie review. This one is supposed to be the scariest movie on Netflix, Veronica. It's Spanish, so it's English subtitled, which, to me, the subtitles are too much a distraction for me to really get into the movie. But, I always give it a try. So, Veronica was released in 2018. Director is Paco Plaza, and it's based on a police report in Madrid in June of 1991. I'm going to be sharing some spoilers, so beware of that. If you don't want to know the spoilers, don't listen, but other than that, here we go. And it got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. IMDb gives it 6.3 out of 10, which I think that's kind of harsh. I really liked it. It wasn't scary, maybe because maybe I've watched a lot of horror movies and I'm kind of a little desensitized to some things, but it was very creepy, very spooky. There was quite a few shocking things in it. So it's all about Veronica. I think she's 15. She's like a surrogate mom to her three younger siblings. There's twin girls and a little five-year-old boy, Antonito. And her sisters are Lucia and Irene. And it starts off with a 911, well, their version of a 911 phone call to the police that Veronica is screaming about there's an intruder in the house. He won't leave. The house is being damaged. It's an apartment. Being damaged. She can't get him to leave. Please help, please help, please help. You can hear the younger kids are screaming in the background because they're freaked the fuck out. And then the phone goes dead. So, of course, the police go out there because they think there's a real intruder. And they notice that the place is messed. The three siblings... ran outside. They're met by their mom, who works in a bar. She works in a bar all day and most of the night. And Veronica takes care of these kids. She's, she makes sure they get dressed, they eat, they do their homework. She takes them to school. She picks them up from school and she feeds them. She's like a surrogate mom because mom's busy working and their dad is dead. So she buys a Ouija board and she takes it to school. Because she's going to play the Ouija board with her two friends. One of her friends wanted to use the Ouija board to speak to her dead boyfriend. In the basement of the school, while the school is distracted with a solar eclipse. And in science class, Veronica learns about some ancient cultures believe that using eclipses are for human sacrifices and to summon dark and evil things. So there's like a foreshadowing there of that. Now everyone is outside looking through photo negatives at the sun because they don't have those solar glasses that we do. So they're in the basement. She's trying to talk to her dad. Now, number one, I found it weird that this brand new Ouija board doesn't have a planchette. But it does come with these neat occult magazine pamphlets that talk about Ouija boards, ghosts, demons, spirits, whatever. And I found that pretty interesting. But the weird thing is, this board, brand new out of the package, does not have its own planchette. Something wrong there. So they bring a drinking glass, an actual, glass for them to use as a planchette. Well, number one, it's during the solar eclipse, so weird things start to happen. And they just start off with, is there anybody here? Okay, stupid to say that. She didn't specifically call out to her father. That was their number one mistake, that's their number two mistake, other than number one, during a solar eclipse. Something like that is too powerful and you're going to get something bad. So number two, they didn't specifically ask for her dad. And so something came through all right, and it took control of Veronica to where the other girls were pushed away from the board, and Veronica was the only one who had her fingers on the glass, which ended up breaking, and she cuts her fingers. Okay, here's the other bad part that happens. She cuts her fingers and bleeds on the board. And I'm not talking about a couple of drops. It shows, like, at least a bottom of a cup of blood on this board. So, one, a solar eclipse. Number two, she didn't call out to a specific person in mind that she had in mind. And number three, she bleeds on the board. That's a recipe of being fucked. So, she is trapped in this trance, and she's bleeding on the board. Then the board rips in half. Veronica's on the ground, and she's starting to convulse. So her friends are debating, they're arguing whether they should go get help, because Veronica desperately needs help. She's in trouble. And they didn't want to get in trouble because they weren't supposed to be in the basement. They were supposed to be with their class. Well, they decide to go get help because they didn't know how to help Veronica. So, the school nurse kept asking her all sorts of questions about why she would pass out. And Veronica couldn't give any reason because she truly didn't know what happened in the basement. So the nurse was telling her that she should eat more red meat because she might have an iron deficiency. That would make you extremely fatigued. Okay, let's eat some meat. Everything seems fine after that. It's just all kind of weird that the board like ripped in half. It's a, you know, it's like a cardboard pressed Ouija board, so it could easily break. And then all these weird little things start happening. She's unable to eat. Something like an invisible hand is keeping her from putting food to her mouth. Claw and bite marks start appearing on her body. Toys and electronics turn on by themselves. She hears strange noises from her room, and she's locked out of the bathroom when she's trying to bathe her little brother. And the water is turned on too hot, but she didn't do it. And she saves him before it could get any worse, but he's slightly burned from being in the boiling hot water. She has dreams of her father. He appears naked. I mean, he was total full frontal naked as a ghost appearing in her room, and demonic arms come out from her bed, and then her father transforms into a faceless demon before she wakes up. She sees a shadow wandering around their apartment. It was coming to the kids and freaking them out. The kids couldn't get any sleep. And mom was gone because she's working her butt off at the bar. So Veronica reads in her little occult magazines that she can use symbols of protection to keep spirits away. So that's what she does. She makes these homemade symbols of Viking protection, and she hangs them in her siblings' rooms. It seems to help a little bit, but still everybody's freaked out. Until one time the shadow reaches out its hand and burns the symbols. And then she's having weird nightmares. There's just sounds of, there's all these sounds of, you know, footsteps and giggling and just all the kinds of creepy shit that could happen when there's a dark spirit invading your house. So Veronica's trying to warn the kids about this evil spirit that has invaded the house, and she's trying to protect them. That's all she keeps telling them. She's doing things to try to protect them. And not only does blood get spilled once during the Ouija board seance, it comes again as her first period, which is quite a bit of blood. So with all this, like a second spilling of blood solidifies this dark spirit from being sent away. So it all comes down to Veronica was trying to talk to her friends, and they seem to be ignoring her. She wants to hang out with them. She wants to talk about what happened, and they don't want to even want to talk to her. I guess because she freaked them out. They got freaked out, but you know, girls can be mean. So she's trying to deal with this. She doesn't know what's going on, and the spirit is getting more and more, coming out more and more to scare her really bad. So she even finds underneath their mattresses, like on the bottom of the mattress itself, there's like a burnt impression of a body laying on the bed. Like this spirit has been sleeping in the same bed with them. And just everyone's freaked out. She doesn't know what to do. So she ends up going to the school they go to is, you know, it's a Catholic church, a Catholic school, because there's nuns all around. So she ends up going to one of the nuns who is blind, but seems to be able to understand that there's something following her. And she's trying to ask about how to deal with it. Well, the nun says to do the right thing that she did wrong during the seance. And the one thing that the books had said was that you're supposed to say goodbye to the spirit, otherwise it'll follow you. So she's trying to go talk to her friends to do another Ouija board seance. And they absolutely refuse to help, because one of them said that Veronica whispered to one of the girls that she was going to die in 5 days, I think. In 3 days or 5 days, I forget what it was. And all during the movie, it was counting down the days. So I think it was day 3 or day 4 that she was supposed to die. So she couldn't get her friends to help her. So she ends up fixing the Ouija board. And she's getting her siblings to sit in the circle with her to help her. Now, that doesn't work out too well, because this is what prompts the 911 call, because the siblings are all freaked out. So before they do the seance, she goes through the books and tries to find more symbols of protection, and she gets her little brother to draw these symbols on the wall. But he flips over the page and he finds a more interesting symbol that he draws on the walls too, which is a demon invocation symbol. So, it's just a disaster, a recipe for disaster. She gets them to do a seance that last night, and it doesn't go well because, number one, the spirit won't leave. Why? Why won't it leave? You can't say goodbye to it after it's been summoned during a celestial event and the board has been bled on. That door is permanently open. You can't just say goodbye to the spirit. It's just not going to work. And she didn't know that she would need some more powerful help. Like, she would need an exorcism is what it would come down to. But she didn't know this. She didn't have the information. She just kept, during the whole seance, she kept trying to tell it goodbye. We don't want it here. You're not welcome. You're not welcome. You leave. This is our house. You're not welcome. And the spirit kept saying through the board, no, 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 no. Because it's now it's been bound to that board and to her because through her blood. So by her confronting it, it wreaks all sorts of hell. And she did what she could to protect her siblings. The spirit also took her brother. And so she was going through all the apartment trying to find her brother. Well, the three younger siblings were fine. She sends them outside. And that's where they meet their mother. The cops are out there. The police come in. The detective comes in and sees her in her bedroom. She's doing, she's standing up, but leaning really far back, almost doing the spider walk, but she's being held like in midair. And the spirit is putting its fist into her mouth, trying to completely get inside her body, which it ends up doing. And this is what the police detective sees. He sees the dark figure with its hand in Veronica's mouth, getting inside her body, and that's what freaked him right out. She's taken out on a gurney, because the ambulance is there too, and she's severely ill. Fever, nausea, everything. And apparently on the way to the hospital, she dies. And that's what the police detective was told. So at the end, it shows him he's trying to type this report, but he doesn't know what the fuck to say, because what he saw was not rational. It was not logical. And how the hell do you put that in a police report? And there was no physical real intruder, like a person. This was a demon. The end of the movie says that several of the officers that were in that apartment felt really sick, that they had to leave the apartment. And as soon as they left the apartment, they were fine. The detective, he stayed for only one more month or a couple more months. And then he ended up quitting the force, because that night freaked him so bad. He didn't know how to deal with it, and he didn't know what to do with it. So was this the scariest movie on Netflix? If I had watched it in the proper settings, probably, like had my room completely dark, maybe at a later time, like after midnight, I bet you it could have been really scary. But I found it very spooky, very creepy, and the girls, you could tell that the girl, Veronica, had no way of finding out information except from these books that didn't give the whole information. So, could she have been saved? Possibly, if she had an exorcism. But, like I said, it was during a powerful celestial event that opened the door wide. She bled on the Ouija board, and she didn't specifically call to the person she wanted to talk to. So, this is a movie of someone who was completely fucked. And unfortunately, you know, it caused her death because that's what these demons do. They cause death and destruction. I like foreign horror movies. They really do more scary than Americans do, or they can do. I find they do, though. I really like this movie. It showed all the wrong things of doing a Ouija board session, but it didn't fully explain that just saying goodbye to this thing was not going to solve the problem, even though that was what the nun was trying to imply, was that she had to do the right thing of what she did wrong, and they didn't say goodbye, but they were fucked. I'm sorry, they were fucked. There was not going to be a happy ending to this unless she got an exorcism, and then she could have lived, possibly. So, I think people should watch it. It's a nice, spooky, creepy flick. It's not a 10. I personally give it an 8 on the whole. I love paranormal, true stories. And a spirit summoned by a Ouija board that isn't properly told to go away, it's always a good story to have. So, Veronica, 8 out of 10. I recommend people watch this. It's not that bad. And you decide. You have to watch the movie to decide. And you're listening to EMZT Radio.
It is through the recitation of the book's passages that this dark spirit is given license to possess the living.
Can death be outwitted? Is the secret of eternal life just around that corner?
This is Jaded Jack from Jaded, Jaded, Jaded. You're listening to EMZT Radio. Come, let your ears bleed.
From 1428elm.com, Supernatural fans rejoice as CW greenlights season 14. As we chase the animated heels of Scooby Natural, the CW announces to fans that we will be graced with Supernatural season 14. Whether you are Team Dean or Team Sam, all Supernatural fans can rejoice at the news. According to Entertainment Weekly, the CW has renewed our favorite monster-hunting family business for another season. So hold on to your rock salt and your angel blade. We're getting Supernatural Season 14. At the risk of feeling silly, even explaining this at this point, but if for any impossible reason you haven't seen a single episode of this amazing show, Supernatural follows brothers Sam and Dean Winchester as they take over the family business of saving people and hunting things. Things, of course, meaning monsters, demons, jerkwad angels on occasion, and a few times the devil himself. The show has gone through so many storylines, evolutions, and deaths that you feel like you have grown alongside the Winchester brothers. Alongside the renewal for Supernatural Season 14 was a renewal for another season of Riverdale, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, possibly the final season, The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, Black Lightning, Jane the Virgin, and DC's Legends of Tomorrow. Supernatural is the longest-running show in CW history, even including when it was still the WB. For fans of the show iZombie, we're going to have to wait until May to hear the fate of the next season. After the right turn that the show has taken, who knows where another season will take us in the world of zombie-infested Seattle. Because this season so far has been quite the ride. If you missed the Scooby Natural episode of Supernatural, check out the trailer for it, or watch the episode on the CW's website, and that's cwtv.com, and you go find the link for Supernatural. And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
Your mother ate my dog!
Not all of it.
And I'm kicking some ass 'cause I'm hanging around with you.
to be a star. Living the dream, living the dream.
This is Lucan Wolf, and you're tuned in to the delightful darkness of EMZT Radio.
From fansided.com, Stranger Things attraction confirmed for Halloween Horror Nights 2018. In an unexpected but exciting announcement, it's now confirmed that a Stranger Things attraction is coming to Universal's Halloween Horror Nights 2018. One of the most enjoyable times of the year is Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios. Every year, there's a different theme and a variety of different haunted houses to visit. Some fans wait for months just to see these announcements and what to expect. With the first announcement, we're sure fans are going to love it. Netflix's beloved original series Stranger Things is officially coming to Halloween Horror Nights 2018. This is the first of many announcements. Of course, we probably won't hear about the others for a couple of months, but they've decided to start it off with a bang, and we're already anticipating checking it out. As for details about the theme and what to expect from the haunted house, we'll dig into that shortly. In a press release, Universal revealed a number of details about what to expect from the house. Check out the details, courtesy of Entertainment Weekly. Hawkins will come to Hollywood and Orlando and Singapore for the annual Scream Fest, which brings scary storytelling to life with movie-quality mazes inspired by beloved pop culture horror properties like The Shining and American Horror Story. This year, Netflix's breakout hit will be the star of its own 80s-tastic haunted attraction, which will bring the chittering, predatory Demogorgon to Halloween Horror Nights to stalk unwitting guests as they encounter iconic scenes, characters, and environments from the mesmerizing series. We're hoping some more theme and house announcements come soon. Halloween Horror Nights 2018 starts September 14th at Universal Studios Hollywood and Universal Orlando Resort. And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
Gotcha, didn't I, you little sucker?
We'll be right back.
From 1428elm.com, Short Horror, Scariest Short Stories Within Full-Length Films. They say good things come in small packages, but we don't hold that sentence to be as true in film. Fast entertainment is celebrated in our culture, but ironically, it doesn't always translate the same to movies. Short horror stories have been in our culture dating all the way back to 1896, short French film La Mémoire du Diable. Since then, we've seen the genre grow in different forms. Hit TV shows like The Twilight Zone and Tales from the Crypt told short horror stories that concluded in the span of a half hour. Some of our most beloved scary films actually originated from short horror stories, too. Most famously, Sam Raimi's classic The Evil Dead may not have been made had it not been for its short story predecessor, Within the Woods. We're a culture more and more built on soundbites and uploaded stories that disappear after we tell them. So why not spend more time lauding those films that are short and sweet? In that vein, let's look back of some of the scariest short horror stories within a film. These stories might not stand alone, but their appeal does. Amelia, Trilogy of Terror. Self-proclaimed horror connoisseurs pride themselves on their knowledge and ability to remain unfazed. And although I put myself in this category, some childhood scenes remain forever etched in memory. One of those, the final story within 70s horror movie Trilogy of Terror, is wholly terrifying. This film consists of three short horror stories starring Karen Black. In Amelia, a young woman, Amelia, buys a voodoo doll who proceeds to come alive. Recently, someone posted a 14-minute video of the long-lost, to my memory, Amelia, and suffice to say, it all came rushing back. Though the actual scare factor might not completely hold up, the psychological one does. This 20-minute tale still has the ability to leave an indelible mark. The Raft, Creepshow 2. If you love horror movies, you may also take great pleasure in unearthing or discovering them, like a paleontologist finding a new bone or an astronomer naming a new star. If you dig into the 87 Creepshow 2, buried within its short horror stories, you'll find the gem that is The Raft. Four friends go swimming at a lake. After they reach the raft, they realize they're trapped by a moving oil slick that begins terrorizing them. After two are eaten by the slick, both in kind of gruesome ways, the two remaining make it till morning. Unfortunately, when teen hormones, and what seems to be some non-consensual petting, takes precedence over the fight to survive, well, you can imagine what happens. This might not be the best or most famous of short horror stories out there. Nevertheless, it has more creativity and uniqueness than a lot out there today. The Principal, Trick or Treat. Within the Halloween-themed horror movie, Trick or Treat, lies the cult classic that is The Principal. Dylan Baker is the principal of fictional town Warren Valley. Though he's giving out candy to dressed-up students, his ulterior actions are quite darker. These include killing his student, attempting to dispose of him, and trying to shut up his meddling young son. There's no happy ending here, but there is a dark, fun one. Coincidentally, the feature-length film was inspired by the writer-director Michael Dougherty's short film Season's Greetings. The opening sequence in The Twilight Zone, the movie. Technically, this isn't one of the short horror stories within the full-length Twilight Zone film. It's only the opening scene starring Albert Brooks and the hitchhiker he picked up, Dan Aykroyd. The short, suspenseful, cautionary tale opens the movie and then quickly commences. Yet it's still memorable today, even its classic end quote, a question from Dan Aykroyd. Want to see something really scary? Yes, Dan. Yes, we do. And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
On the afternoon of August 18th, 1973, five young people in a Volkswagen van ran out of gas on a farm road in South Texas. Four of them were never seen again. The next morning, the one survivor, Sally Hardesty Enright, was picked up on a roadside, blood-caked and screaming murder. Sally said she had broken out of a window in hell. The girl babbled a mad tale. A cannibal family in an isolated farmhouse. Chainsawed fingers and bones. Her brother, her friends, hacked up for barbecue. Chairs made of human skeletons. Then she sank into catatonia. Texas lawmen mounted a month-long manhunt, but could not locate the macabre farmhouse. They could find no killers and no victims. No facts, no crime. Officially, on the records, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre never happened. But during the last 13 years, over and over again, reports of bizarre, grisly chainsaw mass murders have persisted all across the state of Texas. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre has not stopped. It haunts Texas. It seems to have no end.
Over the sea. I look out my window, it hits me. Los Angeles, the city of the angels. Huh. I'd like to meet the sick son of a bitch that thought that one up.
You love midnight movies, don't you? But can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV.
Ben!
The first viral television on the web. Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live, 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
Don't mess with me! I got the power of EMZT Radio and horror on my side!
And that wraps up another episode of EMZT Radio. This time it's a little short. But I just wanted to get it out for this week. And I did put something in it, so it's pretty good. I like it. I like it a lot. There won't be any interviews until about May. MJ is finalizing all scheduled times for our interview appointments. Be sure to check out all our EMZT Radio sites. We have Twitter at EMZT Radio. You can find us at Facebook, EMZT Podcast Radio. We do have a Patreon page, patreon.com/EMZT Productions. That would help with our expenses of having our websites, our music license. It's all for the podcast. We don't pocket any of this money. And we have another support page, makerssupport.com/EMZT Productions. We also have Discord, EMZT Radio. MJ's on there and he's playing some games. I have yet to figure out how to hook up my PlayStation for that. But then PlayStation is getting cut off from all such things, so I'm starting to get a little pissed off about that. Unfortunately, I might have to switch to a different console, and I don't want to, because I've got a bajillion PS3 games. What the hell am I going to do with those? I'll figure something out. We also have YouTube, EMZT Productions. And, of course, we also have our Podbean, emztradio.podbean.com. And if you are an independent horror group that needs something promoted or you want to talk to us, please find us, EMZT Podcast Radio at Facebook or at EMZT Radio on Twitter. And we have email, emztradio@gmail.com. Hit us up and we'll set down for a time that we can talk to you and talk about your project and let people know about it. That's the fun part. You know, some people, they get so nervous talking to us. They think that we're like, you know, by the book, textbook, totally professional, no fun. Our interviews are not scary. I promise you, they're not scary. They get weird, but they're not scary. And it's a lot of fun. And you can also turn the tables on us and ask us questions if you like. So it's like, it's not so much as an interview as it is a fun little chat of getting to know people and their project. So don't be nervous if you want to talk to us. We are fun to talk to. Ask anyone who's interviewed with us. They've been back several times. So until next time, stay tuned for another episode of EMZT Radio. Rampage, MJ. Rampage was awesome.
Psychos for creative
good! Bad rhyme! Bad rhyme!